Turn again to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Looked at these verses this morning. We'd like to look at them again this evening, verse 36 through verse 39. We'll read. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Again, this is a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ that I believe resulted in a revival in the hearts of those who were present. This morning we saw how what transpired in this chapter gave them a peace of heart. We want to look tonight at how these individuals were revived. And I ask each one who knows the Lord as Savior to examine your own heart. Because what we read here is key to revival in the hearts of God's people. I believe revival is a continual, ongoing thing. And what we read here is key to revival continuing in our hearts and lives. Again, Jesus, knowing full well the condition and the need of those present, stood in their midst and said, Peace be unto you. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. And I see in those words a call to revival. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening, Christ's call to revival. Again, the first thing we want to notice is the condition and need of these individuals that were present that night, because the condition and need of these individuals is very emblematic of the condition and need of you and I this evening, the condition emblematic of the condition of many of God's people. If there ever was a time when we needed reviving, it's today. If there ever was a time when God's churches needed reviving, it is today. And we see that these men at one time left everything to follow Christ. They left their jobs. They left everything to follow Jesus Christ. He was everything to them. He was the priority of their lives. They were on fire for God. They were fired up for God. They were excited. They were pumped. They were enthused. Their hearts were burning with a passion and fervency for Jesus Christ. They had eagerness for Christ. They had zeal. They had a fascination with Jesus Christ. They were fascinated by the person of Jesus Christ. They had an obsession with Jesus Christ. But now, the Christ that they had revered, the Christ that they had loved and followed, he has been put to death. And they have the tomb where he was, and it's empty, and they really don't know yet what to really think of that, what it all really meant. As we saw this morning, they're filled with unbelief. They're filled with worry. They're filled with fear. They're weary. They're frustrated. They're discouraged. They are confused. They're disappointed. They are sorrowful, very restless, very unsettled. Sense of hopelessness has come upon them. Their joy has disappeared. Their hopes have been shattered. Their enthusiasm has evaporated. Their passion that they once had, the fervor that they once had, the ambition and the zeal, all that has pretty much fizzled at this point. The assurance they had, the confidence that they had, that's gone. It's all gone. Christ was not a present reality to them until he appeared that evening. And to continue in this condition, they will eventually, if they continue there, they will become utterly useless. And so it is today. There are many who are in that exact condition. And if you choose to continue in that condition, you will become spiritually useless. These individuals are in desperate need. Their need is far greater than they realize. And the need of God's people today is far greater than most of us realize. Like many today, just like these, many today need a revival. We need reviving. We need to be restored. We need to recover enthusiasm and passion. We need to recover the fervor and the ambition and the zeal that perhaps we once had for the Lord. These individuals needed to be raised. They needed to be awakened to reality. They needed to be aroused. They needed to be stirred. They needed to be invigorated. They needed a refreshing from the Lord. They needed to be renovated. They needed to be replenished. They needed to be stimulated. These individuals needed revival. And again, their need is emblematic of the need of many today. Because how often we find that the fire is gone. The fire, the passion, the fervor, the enthusiasm, the eagerness, the zeal, the fascination, the obsession for Jesus Christ. How often those things disappear. How often those things get swallowed up by a lot of other things. And we get stuck. And we get stuck in the trivial. And we begin to squander away the jewels. And we keep the trinkets. That's what God's people are doing today. They squander away the jewels. They throw away that which is precious. And they keep the trash. It's like you go buy groceries and you throw all the groceries away and keep the bag. And that's what we're doing today spiritually. Many. And you fill your house up with boxes and bags and all of that. And you've thrown away all that which matters. Pretty soon you don't have anywhere to walk. And pretty soon you're stumbling over everything. And everything's in the way. Everything's cluttered. That's where people are spiritually. And what's so sad is this has become the norm in the lives of so many. We find ourselves many times where we have little or no time, little or no energy in the things that matter. And oh, how much time we waste. How much energy we waste in silly diversions. Things that take us away from the things of God. I believe many who profess to be saved today will read People magazine with more interest than they will the Word of God. Will read sporting news with more interest than they will the Word of God. How sad. How sad. But that's where we are today. And again, what's so terribly sad is people have become accustomed to this. And they act like it's no big deal. This is what everybody does. And sad to say, they might be right. But that doesn't make it right. You see, we sing, we pray, we listen to the Word of God. And many times we do these things from memory rather than a personal living experience, a personal experience of Jesus Christ. It's easy to serve the Lord today from memory. It's easy to come to church from memory. It's easy to go through the motions from memory. But what we need today is passion. What we need is some fervor. What we need is some zeal for the things of the Lord. But so many have become spiritually apathetic. The things of God have become routine. And people all over are suffering from chronic spiritual fatigue. But you go back to the time when the Lord saved your soul. And there was a fire. There was a fire that burned within. Perhaps you didn't know as much then as you supposedly know now. But there was a fire. There was an enthusiasm. There was a fervency for the Lord. And there was a desire to please God. We had a desire to please the Lord. And yet I'm afraid today that many have long since lost that desire. There was a desire to do exactly what God would have us to do. And we would go to great lengths to make sure that we were doing what God would have us to do. There was a desire to know the Lord. There was a desire to know Him more and more and more every day. We cannot lose that desire. Yet today, many years ago, became content with what they know. And that desire to know more, that desire to experience Christ more, has disappeared. There was a desire to make known Jesus Christ to others. We couldn't wait to tell others about the one who saved our soul. We were excited to tell them. We were unashamed to tell them. Is that still so? Is that still so today? There was a desire to be fully surrendered to the Lord, a desire to be filled with the ways of God, a desire to be filled with the Spirit of God, a desire to just be used of Him. That ought to still be the desire of every one of us. Lord, that You just use me. Whatever it is, that You would just use me in Your service to serve Him in whatever capacity. We didn't dictate back then how we would serve God. We were willing to serve God in whatever capacity that the Lord would have us to serve. That's the way it still should be. There was a desire, there was a willingness to use whatever we had, to use it for the Lord's service. There was a passion. There was a passion for the things of God. And I ask you tonight, is the passion still there? Is the fervency still there? Is the excitement, the eagerness, and the ambition still there? And some might answer, well, I'm older now and I've learned to curb the passion. You've learned a bad thing. You've learned a bad thing. It's not a good thing to curb our passion for the Lord. It's not a good thing to learn how to curb our fervency and our zeal for God. But I'm afraid many have learned, and they've learned well. They curb their passion so much that it's non-existent. I ask you tonight, is the fascination still there? Are you still fascinated with the person of Jesus Christ? When you open God's Word, do you find it fascinating to read? Do you find it difficult to stop reading? You're just enthralled and you're fascinated by the Word of God. Most, I'm afraid, have gone a long way away from what they were when the day the Lord saved them. Remember the day that you were baptized. The day that you were added to one of the Lord's churches. And there was a desire. There was a desire to serve the Lord in and through that particular church. There was a desire to be in the services of God. Nothing could keep you from being in the services of worship. I ask you again, is that fire still burning? Do you still get excited about Sunday? Do you still get excited about Wednesday? Do you find yourself, oh, I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait till Wednesday. We get to go to church. Is that desire, is that passion still there? There was a desire, there was an enthusiasm for the Lord's house. There was an enthusiasm for the Lord's day. But today, you and I live in days of unprecedented spiritual instability. In days when God's people would rather go down to Egypt for help than to rely and depend upon God. We live in a time when there are very few of God's people who even know how to rely and depend upon God, but they are experts at going down into Egypt for help. We're in sad shape. Overall, we're in sad shape. Overall, we're a pitiful sight to behold. The Lord's people. The Lord's churches. We live in days of habitual spiritual complacency. It has become the norm. Do-it-yourself religion is the norm today. We live in days where we have sanctified sin, where we have our pet sins, and we're going to protect them and we're going to defend them. Again, we are in desperate need. We live in days of coldness. We live in days of spiritual laxity. Days when the things of God have become mundane. And as a result of all of this, many of God's people are weary. Many of God's people are frustrated. Many are discouraged and confused and disappointed and sorrowful and dejected and restless and unsettled, and a cloud of hopelessness has filled many a church, and many of God's people have become numb to the movings and to the leadings of the Spirit of God. People have lost sight of his spiritual cause. Remember David going before Goliath. He looked at his brethren and he said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for somebody to take a stand against this giant? Is there not a reason? Is there not a cause for somebody to have some backbone and to have some conviction and to have some passion in serving God?" We've lost sight of a cause. And there is no greater cause today than the cause of God. We, like these that we read of here in Luke chapter 24, we need an awakening. We need to be awakened. We need to be spiritually aroused. We need to have our nest stirred. We need some invigorating from the spiritual slumber that many times we find ourselves in. Now you'll notice, as we noticed this morning, what Jesus did when he came to them. He immediately called upon them to give account of what was wrong there in verse 37 and verse 38. There are many things wrong. We could stand here all night and talk about everything that's wrong with God's people and everything that's wrong with the Lord's churches. But what we really need to know is why. Why has it gone wrong? And in order to honestly answer that question, we have to take an honest look at ourselves. We have to take a good, honest look at ourselves, and we have to examine our own hearts. Are we satisfied with where we are spiritually? Are we satisfied? Are we content with the direction in which many of God's people are going in? Now notice the Lord called upon them to do something. They needed reviving. They needed stirring. And he said, "Behold my hands and my feet." You and I need reviving. And Jesus Christ stands in our midst. And he says, "Behold," that is a verb summoning us to action. Behold, it is a word that is used when something extraordinary and momentous is presented to our attention. "Behold my hands and my feet." He says, "I want you to take a good look at my hands and my feet." Those hands and feet that had been pierced by the nail. He says, "You take a good look. You observe it closely. You meditate upon it. I want you to seriously think about it. I want you to contemplate my hands and my feet." As we said this morning, those nail-pierced hands and feet speak loud and clear of God's purpose. They speak loud and clear of God, of the depravity and the awfulness of sin. They speak loud and clear of the love that Christ has for us. And they speak loud and clear of a price that has been paid. We need to get back to beholding Jesus Christ. We need to get back to beholding the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We need to see the nail-scarred hands. We need to see the nail-scarred feet. And we need to be reminded, God had a purpose in saving my soul. We need to be reminded of the love that caused Jesus Christ to go to the cross. We need to be reminded of the price that was paid for our soul. We need to be reminded of that over and over and over again. And as long as we are beholding these things, how can we not be revived? The problem today is we're beholding a lot of other things and not the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe if we would learn to behold the hands and feet of Christ, that heart that is deaf to the voice and leadings of God will be changed into a responsive heart. That heart that is so crowded, that heart that is so packed full and so distracted and pulled in so many directions. When we behold the hands and feet of Christ, when we contemplate the purpose of God in saving our soul, when we contemplate the love of Jesus Christ, and we contemplate the price that was paid, our hearts become focused on what they ought to be focused upon. Our hearts begin again to be fascinated. Our hearts begin to be absorbed with the things of God. And we become eternity conscious. And we become submissive. And the heart begins to be filled with passion and a burden. It's going to take a lot of passion. It's going to take a lot of fervor to serve the Lord in a day in which we live. And young people, the world that you are going to serve God in is going to get more and more wicked by the day. And it's going to get more and more difficult, more and more hateful toward the things of God. And you need to determine right now that you will never, ever serve God unless you have a passion. Unless there is a passion in your heart, unless there is a fervency burning in your heart to serve God, you will not serve Him. You will not make it spiritually in this world. You will not be useful in this world without this passion. Sad to say, many times you cannot look to the older Christian brothers and sisters as an example because they're cold and they're lifeless and they've been going through the motions now for 30 years. You can't look to them as your example. It's sad, but it's true. But you need to get your eyes upon Christ and you need to stay focused on Jesus Christ. Until there's a passion, until there's a fervency in your heart, that I'm going to serve God. No matter how bad it gets, I'm going to serve God. No matter how difficult it gets, I'm going to serve God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You need some backbone. You need some conviction. And you'll find that backbone, you'll find that conviction by getting your eyes on God. By getting your eyes upon Jesus Christ. By getting your eyes upon the love of Christ. By getting your eyes on the price that has been paid for your soul. And we that are older, we ought to know better than a lot of the things that we do. And we need to stop and seriously consider, what kind of example am I being to these young ones? What am I teaching them about church membership? What am I teaching them about church attendance? What am I teaching them about the worship of God? What am I teaching them about Jesus Christ being a priority? Am I teaching them that job comes first, and if there's time, then you can give that to the Lord? What are we teaching them? We also need passion. And it's not too late to have that passion restored. But I believe it's time for many older Christians to fall down on their knees and ask God to forgive them for being such a terrible, terrible example to young people in their service to God. Many can complain about their children not doing certain things, and many times you need to just take a good look in the mirror, because you taught them well. You taught them well. How shameful. God help us to get that passion, that fervency restored. And as we look, as we behold the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, we begin to have that assurance. We begin to have that peace. And this is part of revival. The joy of the Lord begins to fill our hearts, and our hearts begin to be filled with a song rather than being filled with a complaint. When we behold the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, we begin to have a heart that longs be like Christ. A heart that longs to be more fully surrendered to the Lord. A heart that longs to be more obedient to God. A heart that longs to be more closely identified with the Lord. We need to see Christ. We need to see Christ tonight. We need to see Him standing in our midst. We need to hear Him saying, "Peace be unto you." We don't have to be troubled. We don't have to be distressed. We can have the peace of God ruling in our hearts, but we need to be revived. We need to be set on fire for the Lord. We don't have much time left. I mean, many of us here tonight, do the math. I mean, even if the Lord doesn't come in the next 10 or 15 years, do the math. We don't have much time left. Don't squander it. Don't waste it. If you've lost that passion and zeal, don't spend the remaining years lamenting that. Get right with God. Have that passion restored. Have that zeal restored. Oh, it would thrill the hearts of God's people to see some elderly folks get a fire in their bones and get some passion and conviction about them. And they will say, "I'm going to serve God the rest of my life. I don't know how many years I have left, but I'm going to serve God." And then for young people to get that same passion and zeal. He says, "Behold my hands. Behold my feet." In so doing, that restores us. It sustains us. It restores and sustains the passion. The way to keep the passion is to keep on beholding Jesus Christ. The way to keep the fervency is to keep on beholding. If you've lost it, it's because you've lost your focus. It's because you've gotten your eyes off of Jesus Christ. The way to keep the excitement. We don't need to try to produce excitement. We ought to be excited.
Just walking in the doors of the house of God ought to thrill our souls. That ought to excite us. To have the opportunity to worship God ought to excite us. To have the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, that ought to excite us. To have the opportunity to take a stand and show some conviction ought to excite us. These are blessings from God. And the way to keep that excitement is to behold Jesus Christ. The way to keep the ambition. Our ambition for the Lord does not have to die with our age. Our ambition for the Lord ought to be growing every single day. We ought to be more ambitious today than we were yesterday. We ought to be more ambitious today than we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But where is the spiritual ambition today? Where is it? You know, today people talk about, well, we need more fellowship. And you have a time of fellowship and half the people can't make it because they got other things to do. And they're the ones always griping. Oh, we need more fellowship. Brother Dan, we need to have more fellowship. And where are they when you have it? Nowhere to be found. Because they have ambition in other areas. Well, if you just give us a little more notice, what you need is about a year and a half. It's sad. It's truly sad that we fill our lives with so many things that we don't have time. We don't have time for the Lord. We need a revival. We need reviving. There isn't any one of us here that does not need some reviving in our lives. We need a revival that will cause us to do what we ought to do. Every one of us sitting here that knows the Lord, we know what we ought to do. We don't have to be told that. We know. Every one of us knows what we ought to do. What we need is a revival that will cause us to do it. We need a stirring that will cause us to do what we know we ought to do. We need a revival that will cause us to be what we ought to be. You know what kind of husband you ought to be. You know what kind of wife you ought to be. You know what kind of son you ought to be. You know what kind of daughter you ought to be. But we need a revival that will cause us to be those things. We need a revival that will cause God's people to be identifiable. Where people of the world can look at us and say, there is a child of God. They'll just know. We need a revival that will make some folks nervous. The worldly need to be nervous. They need to be nervous in our services. They shouldn't be comfortable. They ought to see such a stirring within the hearts of God's people that they get nervous. We need such a stirring that'll make the devil nervous. That's what we need tonight. We need a revival, and I believe this revival comes from beholding the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need is something that only God can give. Again, I've preach much. I don't believe that you will ever see a revival in the United States of America as far as a country is concerned. Things are going to get worse. But I believe the Lord's churches can have revival. And I believe the Lord's churches need revival. We need to look. We need to take a good look at ourselves individually. I'm not talking about taking a look at Home Baptist Church collectively. That'll take care of itself if everybody takes a good look at themselves individually and takes care of what needs to be done individually. So many times, well, you know, the pastor needs to do this, and if the pastor would do this, the church would be better, and on and on and on we could go. So-and-so needs to do this. Just stop. Just stop right there. And each one of us need to ask ourselves, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to have that passion? Do I still have that passion? Do I still have that fervency? You know, now's not the time to sit down under the juniper tree all discouraged. That's not the time. It's never the time. Things are too important. Too much is at stake for God's people to get discouraged, for God's people to give up. We need passion. We need fervency. We need this eagerness, this ambition, this fascination. How do we get it? Well, we need to get rid of a lot of the trash. There's a lot of rubbish. We need to start cleaning the rubbish out of our homes. We need to start cleaning the rubbish out of our lives. That's where we need to start. We need to get our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold Him. Getting back to getting rid of all the trash. You know, if you walk around trash all day long, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get downcast. Things are always in the way. And we've got a lot of clutter. We've got a lot of clutter today in our lives. God help us to see Jesus Christ coming here this evening, standing in the midst, standing right there in the center aisle and saying, peace. Peace be unto you. And that peace is available for each and every one of us. And then He says, behold my hands. Behold my feet. It is I. Oh, that we would get our eyes upon Him this evening. That's where revival is. That's where the passion is restored. That's where the fervency is restored. Again, we don't have much time left. And it's not getting any easier. The battle rages on. We're too close to the finish line to quit now. We've gone too far. I don't want to even think about turning back at this point. But we need some passion. We need some zeal. And you young people, again, you need some passion. You need some zeal for the Lord. Some conviction on what is right. And some backbone to stand against what is wrong. God help us to have these things this night. Get your eyes upon Christ tonight. Brother Larry, if you'd come.